on today's Compassion Radio.
I am a bit sad because Nomi is not here. He visited me in Nepal and I miss him so much here today. But I'm happy and what he has imparted to us and his love and concern to the ministries and to the people in Nepal. I want to remember him while I'm talking today.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumphs of God in the world's toughest places. Compassion Radio is the daily radio journal that takes you to the cutting edge of the nightly news and does it in a way that brings to life the eternal story being written on living pages. For the last 2+ years, one of the neediest places in the world has undoubtedly been Nepal. Ever since a devastating earthquake hit the region of Kathmandu in the spring of 2015, we've had a special relationship for years with the people God is using to quietly transform a Hindu nation into a stronghold for the kingdom of God. About 10 years ago, our longtime president, Dr. Norm Nelson, formed a deep and lasting friendship with the man we're going to hear from today. Bram Floria just recently caught up with this gentleman, so here he is to make introductions.
Friends, we are happy to reintroduce somebody that we've wanted to get back in the studio for a very long time. And the person's name is Pastor Harka. Pastor, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, brother.
Now, you had a rich history with Norm and Cher over the years and introduced them to what God was doing on the very roof of the world up there in Nepal. So we're going to explore some of the stories that have been real hallmarks of this ministry over the years and find out what God's doing new in the country of Nepal. So first off, would you tell me a little bit about how you came to the Lord and how he got you focused on training and teaching pastors to reach that nation for Christ?
Thank you so much for having me again here, and I'm so excited to be in radio, Compassion Radio here, meeting with friends. I am a bit sad because Norm is not here. Part of my friendship and relationship with the Norm was from a long time ago, maybe from 2007. He visited me in Nepal, and I miss him so much here today. But I'm happy and what he has imparted to us and his love and concern to the ministries and to the people in Nepal. I want to remember him while I'm talking today.
Please, because there are some stories of the two of you doing work together that should be really well remembered. We need to definitely make those highlights.
I honor him very much and respect him. And while when I heard the gospel from a Nepali evangelist in 1994, Lord touched my life with the word of truth. It was John 14:6, which was very different word because my context of believing in Nepal was with 33 million god and goddesses in country of Nepal.
It's a very crowded country when it comes to spiritual things.
Yeah, stronghold. Hindu country, you know, I mean, the Buddhist also, the Buddha was born in Nepal, so it's two main religion are in Nepal. So when I heard the gospel, that really struck my heart and mind, because I can tell you my background, my parents, my grandparents were worshipping Guru. Guru, part of the Hindu movement called Guru movement, where they basically follow and believe in Guru. My parents and grandparents believe in Kavir Guru, which the practice is usually in a wash their feet and drink water. You know, it's you remember when I said this, it was such a practice. And when evangelists shared the gospel with me, Jesus was the only way, truth, and the life.
Now, the washing of your feet or your arms or your body, the different kinds of rituals you would go through in a Hindu or Buddhist kind of worship, explain to us how that's different than our concept of baptism.
Well, the baptism in Christian practice was the inward change of outward focus. Or I say, when we are changed inside and we are baptized outside. So that's the practice. But in Hinduism, the water, using of water in different senses means different ways. Like for worshipping Guru and washing feet, drinking from that water was a holy water for them.
So something mystical is supposed to happen with the elements and the earth itself. It gives you some kind of spirituality.
Yeah, yes.
So with that kind of practice, there's a lot of devotion that goes into that and a lot of understandable rituals. You know what you're supposed to do, and you're trying very hard to keep the gods happy. So you were called out to a new god, one that challenged all the old ones. Now, how, when Jesus came into your heart, did it transform everything for you?
So when the word changed my heart and mind, and I feel this is the right things to go. So I believe Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I accepted Him as my Lord of my life. And I dedicated my life to Him. And since then, I have never regretted.
Yeah. But it also has its challenges. You turn your back on not just certain gods, but you turn your back on a culture that worships all these gods.
Yeah.
And so in some ways, you're an enemy of the state.
Yeah.
So how did your family and in your village and the people around you respond to this transformation in you?
So when somebody becomes a believer, you become second-class citizen of the country.
And literally so.
And next thing is, you are out of a track of your legal system. And you are out of your family's practices. And it was difficult for me to make understand to my families when I accepted Christ. I was an elder son, eldest one.
Yeah.
I had to carry out all the rituals and functions of my families. When I became a believer, it was not. I mean, I'm going to different track. And it was not expected.
I'm trying to imagine for Americans in the West, or anybody in the West for that matter, if following Christ meant you would no longer be a citizen of your country, you no longer had the protections of the, say, the Bill of Rights, and you were no longer of equal status before the law, if people would be willing to step across that line. It's a different challenge. So in your case, you saw that the reward of following Christ far surpassed the trappings or the promises of this world, and you took a huge risk, and you followed Him. Now, of course, you are now turning your back on all that ritual you talked about. You were supposed to be the example setter for your family, and now you're setting a completely contrary example. So I can imagine the tension that was there.
Yeah.
What's happened in the years since?
My family was not happy. So from 94, I finished my school, and then there was no church in the mountain. A day far, I have to go for my college. So I went to a day far for my school, I mean college, and then found a church, accepted Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I've attended church. Then after, I involved in the church ministries there on and on. So my family knew I became a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm going to the church. Then after, tension became, you know, I have to take care by myself, trust in the Lord, you know, followed Him. You know, that's what my life began in Christ.
So as you follow Him since 94, it's been a pretty active 20 years or so.
Yeah.
You have not just stopped at becoming a devoted follower of Christ, you've become a pastor and an evangelist, and you've been training pastors.
Yeah.
So in the years since, and maybe still up until the time that you met Norm, how many people had you reached personally and had become followers and then other leaders in the body of Christ there in Nepal?
Let me also give some of my walk in life after that. In 96, I came, 94, I went to the church, involved in the church. And 96, I feel Lord is calling me to learn more about His word and serve Him. And I came in 96 and to study Bible college for bachelor's in theology in Kathmandu, in capital. It is 8 to 10 hours journey far from where I was. I was going to the church. And then my hometown is far, one day far from to the mountain.
Yeah.
So I'm in Hemetria. That reminds me some my, you know, hilly mountain village area. So Lord brought me here nearby. So Compassion Radio in Hemet. So I'm happy enjoying the mountain. But and then, so 3 years, I took a training, studied bachelor in theology in Kathmandu, served 1 year in a school's that was running by a church there. And in 2000, I went to South India for my master's in divinity course.
Oh, very good.
It was all by faith when I came to for the bachelor's in theology in Kathmandu. There was nobody to support me or help me. Mm. And the pastor gave me maybe 10 cents and for my pocket money. And I came in Kathmandu by
and
faith.
How far would that 10 cents carry you?
So my 10 cents, actually, when I say now, I have given multiple blessing more return to pastor who gave me a 10 cents, actually.
Very good.
I have given him, that blessing has never ended again. Still, I'm carrying more and more. And along with this, again, went for Master Divinity, that also by faith, part of my curiosity and my heart longings was to learn more and serve. So 3 years I studied in South India and came back, got married, and then started a church in 2004.
And was that church in your hometown?
Yes. It's not in hometown. It's in Kathmandu.
Okay. So you started a church in Kathmandu
Yes. South part of Kathmandu called Lalitpur. Started a church with a prayer with my wife and myself. And then my daughter, she was very small.
So you, your wife, and your daughter, and a little bit of faith started a church. It was called God's Kingdom right there, and you were it.
Yes. And since then, I've been serving same church. And it's very different church means when you say in our part, it's different. You plant, you win souls, and then you become a pastor.
Yep.
It's not a professional pastor or salary somebody you invite and be a pastor or applied. They're very different. You win the souls, and then you become a pastor. So last 13 years, I've been pastoring.
And what's happened with that church?
Many souls have come to Christ.
Fascinating conversation on today's Compassion Radio. And we'll get right back to it in just a moment after this word from Cher Nelson.
Those of you who are longtime listeners know that for many, many years, we've had an annual project of raising money for Bibles for China. And we've always done it over Christmas, and we are doing the project again this year, but now we're doing it for Christmas. Well, we're delighted to do so, but now we hope that your Christmas spirit is available this early to make that possible. For $6, you can place a Bible in the hands of a Christian family who is just aching for one. We know that for every Bible we place, and there are other members in the family who will have access to that Bible, that there will be four or five people come to know Christ just through the placement of one Bible. We know that there are 20 to 30,000 new Christians in China every day, so we know how great the need is. Now, can you get in your Christmas spirit, and can you help us to get the Bibles to China for Christmas this year? Also, as you've heard us tell you year after year, there are well over 100,000 Chinese missionaries that are moving out across the ancient Silk Road trade routes to take back all of that Islamic territory for Jesus Christ. They understand that this Back to Jerusalem movement could help stop extremist Muslim terrorism right in its tracks. And as you probably know, we also believe that that is the only answer to terrorism and Islamization, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 apiece. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Now, let's get back to today's program.
And what's happened with that church?
Many souls have come to Christ. We have raised many kids, needy kids, in our home.
So when you say you've raised needy kids, you're talking about bringing in street kids?
We started with the street kids. We brought and adopted poor kids from the mountains and helpless kids of the families, and we raised, educated them.
Very good. And some of those kids are people that Norm and Cher have talked about over the years.
And yes, we usually keep 10 of them usually at our home.
You have a very busy house now.
Yes, it was last 10 years we did that one.
Very good. So you're raising the children of Nepal to be a new generation of young Josiahs, people to raise up and transform their country from the inside out. And you're building
a church. You may not believe they are serving the Lord.
Well, tell me about it. How are they serving God now?
So the kids we raised, the girls married to a pastor.
Very good.
The pastor's wife. And we planted a church given to them.
They're serving
the Lord.
So that was your first offspring church, so to speak.
Yes.
So what's happened since then? You have your family expanding literally, and you're sending them out to start churches. But things have been happening since then. Tell me more about the transition to becoming a pastor of pastors.
Yes. And then I'm continuing my life stories in the Lord. So last 13 years, in 2003, I got married. 2004, I started a church. And then 2006, after 2 years serving in the church, I came to El Monte for my master's in theology program, where Lord opened a door for me for full scholarship. And in 2007, I think I met a Norm.
Yes. And you were together in Los Angeles area when you met, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And he visited. And after 2006 to 2008, I finished school.
Mm-hmm.
I went back again, continue the church. And in between also, I've been going there and then taking care kids and home and regularly. And 2012 and before, like from 8, my church is an independent church, a part of Evangelical Alliance in Nepal.
Very good. Is that something that predated you, or did you actually help start that Evangelical Alliance?
No. It was Evangelical Alliance was started in 1960. In 1960, there was only 30 believers in the country.
The entire nation. Wow.
Entire nation.
So you are some of the first fruits then.
Yes. So in I was involved, but the church I was in, for Baptist church in eastern part of Nepal, that was also part of Evangelical Alliance. But my service with the Evangelical Alliance was my church became a member.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was involved in the regional leadership, taking care of pastors, training. And the more and more I desire Lord more, and maybe I don't know, I can't say I'm more eager for the Lord, but Lord has started giving me more and more to serve. And I serve in a regional level with the 500 churches, 500 pastors. In central region. Then Lord again gave me another responsibility to take care of whole Evangelical Alliance in 2012.
Wow.
I was a general secretary of Evangelical Alliance. When I say Evangelical Alliance, there is a World Evangelical Alliance and Asia Evangelical Alliance.
Right.
And different continent there is Evangelical Alliance. So we have a 16 country in Asia. So we meet together.
Very good.
So Nepal is a first chapter. So I led 2012 to 14. So with 2,000 churches, they are part of Evangelical Alliance there.
And that covers a territory about how large?
It's 80% of total Christians population it covers there.
Just in the country of Nepal or the other mountain countries?
It's in Nepal.
Okay. So the national association, this Evangelical Alliance, has grown to how many churches total now?
2,000 churches.
2,000 churches, which means at least 2,000 pastors, I suppose.
Yes.
How do you wrangle all those people? That's hard work, even if you've got great highways and big budgets. That's a hard job. You're talking about a country that has its own challenges geographically, and in the past few years, some horrible challenges having to do with the earthquakes, which we heard a little bit about in the West, but it kind of died off the news fairly quickly. So tell me about some of the big challenges the churches are facing, especially since the massive earthquake which leveled so much of the country.
Okay. I would come there.
Okay.
I would come there with this. And so 2 years ago, so in 12 to 14, I served as general secretary. And then in 14, I moved into Wycliffe Associates.
Okay.
The leading business wing there, so they particularly go in different countries where restricted areas to open up business platform and translate the Bible.
Yes.
So I'm leading that one.
Very good.
And
is this in addition to the other work with the Alliance?
Yes.
You're putting on a lot of hats.
Yeah, lots of hats. We like hats, you know.
Yes, you
we like hats.
Nice warm hats, like hats up there, don't you?
Yes. And 2 years ago, the big earthquake happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was massive earthquake. 12,000 over people died.
Yes.
Many. It covers 40 districts of whole country affected.
Wow.
14 districts were totally demolished.
Yeah.
It was massive.
If you think about the scope of the country, even if we just limited it to maybe a U.S. state, if you think about the numbers of counties that are in a state like Arkansas or Iowa, which is, I think, similar in size to what Nepal is now, mm-hmm. and you're talking about dozens and dozens of counties. If you were to say more than half of those counties were not just affected, but were flattened, that not one building was left standing, that's the kind of challenge you're facing.
Right. So it was tough. It was tough, actually. On Friday, Saturday, we were worshiping the Lord, and it was 11:55. I was just preaching, and I was going into my topic, and I started just the first heading, and there hits the earthquake. I mean, so, we were shattered here and there inside with the kids and everybody. We were about 80 to 100 people in small hall.
Yeah.
Squeeze. It was really tough.
This was all happening during the worship service?
Yes, and the first earthquake.
So what did you do at that moment?
We had no ways to cry to the Lord. My pulpit was fall down, and then believers were here. Kids were crying, weeping, and we had only one door. There was no ways to go. And some, my wife and others were taking care of younger kids in the upstairs, another flat. We were in the middle. It was disaster. It was disaster. We had no hope.
So you had completely. No hope in that moment. But what happened to the people?
Yes. Then we were all crying and, crying to the Lord and praying. That was only one thing we could do because there was nothing else we could do. Mm-hmm. And when earthquake started kind of slowing down, we came out on the street, and the street was again shaking. And we could go inside. And the Saturday, so we came out on the street. Got again a guitar, somebody, it was still a shaking, and we started singing for the people because people were crying. And we saw that we had a hope. We have a hope in Jesus. We cannot cry like other people. So we started doing a worship service in the open area. Sing the song.
And I'm afraid we're going to have to press the pause button for today due to the limitations of our broadcast time. But we will continue Bram's visit with Pastor Harka on tomorrow's Compassion Radio. Keep in mind that you can hear this broadcast or catch up on any of our past programs on our sparkling new website, CompassionRadio.com. We'd really love to have you pop on over and take a look when you get a chance, and then give us your feedback. That's CompassionRadio.com. Together, we inherit an incredible legacy and opportunity to support the entire body of Christ around the world. For decades, this ministry has gone to the places where virtually no other ministry or media agency has gone, to bring you the stories of God's victory and the amazing work of His people. Why do we do it? One, to encourage the faithful in some of the toughest places on earth. And two, to inspire you to exercise your faith in effective, knowledgeable prayer and through practical help to those that need to see the compassion of Jesus. A hallmark of this ministry for over two decades is our annual God's Word for China project. It's far and away our most popular project, and it's fairly simple to understand why. The church in China continues to grow at an astonishing rate, around 20,000 a day. That's around 7 million new believers a year in China. These are new, professing disciples of Jesus who are passionate and motivated to grow in their faith. Every year, Compassion Radio partners like you play their part in helping supply the booming church with the Bibles they need to train the millions of new converts. We hope to send thousands and thousands of new Bibles through your above and beyond giving. Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 apiece. How many Bibles would you like to send to the fastest growing church in the world in China? We've told you about the need. Let us hear from you. And while you're at it, let us know what you're thankful for this year. And let us know that you want us to continue doing this work now and for the years to come. For your support of Compassion Radio and our God's Word for China project this month, we'd love to send you something that will remind you to pray every day for the church in China. We have a new supply of two very special and popular crosses made in China.
One is a beautiful dark mahogany tinted wood, and the other is a pewter cross of nails. They can be worn around your neck. You can hang them from the mirror in your car, or you can pin it to your message board at home. Any way you display it, you're proclaiming your solidarity with the Christians in China and your faithful partnership with Compassion Radio. Let us know how many you'd like when you contact us today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.